Coming up on TMS, cars are weird, yet here we all are.
Dan, the tabletop man.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to TMS PM, the weekly edition of the show where we do it at night, well, in the afternoon, and all because of you and your support at our Patreon. Look, it's 3:33 p.m. in the Mountain Time Zone on March 22nd, 2019, with Scott Johnson here and Brian Ibbett there.
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
Why do I always have to be there? Why can't I be here?
I don't know.
Why are you always here?
All right, Brian Ibbett.
I'm always there.
Here, Scott Johnson there.
No, I don't want it anymore.
You don't want it anymore?
I don't want it anymore. Novelty's worn off now.
Did you watch the weird puppet thing today, the movie for tomorrow? Did you already watch it?
Oh, I watched it last night.
No, okay. I haven't started it yet. I'll be watching it today. So
Tina looked at me. So when you said, oh, but you're not going to have to worry about me. I love this thing. When was the last time you saw The Dark Crystal?
Probably 2 months ago with Carter.
Really? Yeah. That recent? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh yeah, we're fans here. We like that thing a lot.
I have not seen it. I'm a fan of Henson's work. I love Henson. Mm-hmm. I love Oz. Mm-hmm. Love those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I had not seen this thing since I was maybe about 10 years old.
Yeah.
And it felt like it aged every year since I was a kid. I love, you know, everything else. And I don't even want to say I didn't love this, because there were aspects of it I really, really loved.
Sure.
Like that whole world. And we'll talk about it more on Film Sec tomorrow. But Tina looked over at me after about the 21st minute of, she looked over at me and said, "You are so lucky. I love you."
Yeah, that Skeksis stuff is a little rough. There's no question.
It is a little rough,
but it'll lead in nicely to whatever they're doing with that Netflix deal they're working on.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we'll see whatever that is. I don't know if that's a series or a movie or what they're doing. But
it's supposed to be a mini series. If I understand correctly. Yes.
Okay. All right. So not multiple seasons of Skeksis whining. That'd be good.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, and that's,
That would be real good.
That's good. We don't need that business.
No. I'll tell you what we do. Well, I don't need this either. It's been kind of a pain in the butt. But I thought I'd just tell everybody that we've had a bit of a ring around the Rosies car experience here in the Johnson home household. We sold one of our cars. Mm-hmm. We had two cars. We sold one of them to my daughter and her husband, because their car was pooping out and they needed another car. So we sold them my car, which was already paid off. I paid it off years ago. It's just a normal ass Ford Fiesta. There's nothing fancy going on. Just a small, compact, reasonably priced car. Sold them that. They sold their car and got cash for it. We got the cash from that, plus whatever they'd saved. So then we had a little cash. And so we thought, okay, what are we going to do now? And it was either try to help Nick get something that was kind of poopy for not lots of money, or we give him the Honda and then he can pay us for the Honda, like payments to us, and we could figure out something else for Kim and I. And also, now we don't need I don't need another car. We are one car is plenty car for Kim and I.
Right.
We got stuff to do, places to go. We got one car to do it. We got Uber if it all falls apart. It's fine. I don't need...
Can you Uber me to the Habit Burger, please?
But for the first time in our entire marriage, there are not two cars out there with one my name and then her name on it, because usually that's kind of how it went. She'd have to take the kids a million places. I'd have to go to work. We'd have to commute. Like, there was... You had to have two. Mm-hmm. And it suddenly hit us, like, in this case, we're like, no, we don't need to replace the one. I'm good. I'll just get... I have a set of keys to the car, the family car.
Right.
And Nick gets to however he needs to, because he's going to take the Honda and take ownership of it and pay for it. And that's good, because that's a good thing to have him do, you know. Mm-hmm.
Does Carter have her own car?
She doesn't drive because she hates driving.
That's right. Okay.
She hates it. She doesn't like it. And she's probably going to be fine, because her whole future is automated and and now electric, this, so it won't matter anyway.
The question I'm going to ask you is not a question like this would be the only reason to have a second car. But so when that car is in the shop getting worked on, getting new tires put on or something like that, your new one, you're just going to kind of rely on Nick to get you back and forth to the dealership and stuff like that. Hey, Nick, can you pick us up?
Yeah. If something like that happens, or if not, they're, you know, we got neighbors and friends and people who do it.
An Uber.
So, yeah, or whatever. Or they give you a, like the place we have right
sometimes
now.
Sometimes they give you a loaner, yeah.
Yeah, they give us a boner. A loaner, sorry. Not a boner. The place that we use gives us a loaner, so we're probably okay that way. So here's what we did. Kim's so wily, man.
Took no cars, left no cars.
Yeah. Exactly. So she's so, like, she's such a good deal maker. Mm-hmm. She's going around just kind of looking what her options are and trying to figure something out. We don't want to do anything outrageous. We want to have easy payments. We want to quickly pay that one off like we always try to do with all our cars. And so she's looking around, and we're not thinking anything special. She ends up at a Volkswagen dealership. And I really like the Passats, and I like the Jettas a lot. Those are nice cars. And the Passat in particular, but they've always been kind of out of the price range, or, you know, may as well get an Accord, or, you know, there's just always some reason why you don't end up with a Passat. But I have a friend with a Passat. He loves his, relatively newish. His is, I think, a 2015, and it's been great. So I thought, well, you know, it'd be fun to even at least look at those. So she goes over to Mark Strong Volkswagen. Oh, not Mark.
Okay.
Just Strong, I think. Strong Volkswagen.
Okay.
And apparently, since Volkswagen tried to cheat the EPA thing, you know, remember that deal?
Yes, right. Yes, the safety deal. Yes.
Or the, it was emissions, wasn't it, or something? I can't remember now. Was it emissions? It wasn't a safety thing.
I thought it was a brake thing, no?
No, I thought it, I think it's...
emissions?
I thought it was emissions, yeah.
Like a year ago or something,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
Maybe a little bit more. I can't remember. But as a result of it, they got hammered with fines and took a big beating in PR and in the public square and all of that for, you know, being a-holes. And yeah, it was
flogged publicly. Yes,
yeah, and it was their diesel. That's right. Zero Cool 890 says it was their diesel thing that they they basically had. They claimed some almost near zero emissions for that car, and they were fudging the numbers. Anyway, as a result, they have been kind of in this mode of, okay, we screwed up. We're going to give everyone great deals. We make great cars. They're already super reliable and rad. And you know what? We're just going to drop prices and give you bonuses. Please buy a Volt. You know, they kind of went into that mode for a couple of years there. And so I kind of had my eye over there going, I don't know, maybe, you know, if something makes sense, I'd look at those guys. Well, anyway, so Kim's snooping around. And this is insane how this worked out. So she finds a 2018, not a 2019, but a 2018 brand new Passat. And by brand new, I mean it has 14 miles on it. That's
it. Wow, okay.
14 miles. Full leather.
That one's sitting on the lot for a while.
Exactly. Full leather complement, full surround special sound thing, all the cameras and the smart stuff and the hoo-ha and the remote ignition and all of it. I really shouldn't. But all the amenities that you would want to get, like it's the top end maxed out thing you can get. Memory seats and a heated front and back seat, so they both have the heated bum and all that.
Yeah.
So all this kind of stuff. Normally, completely ridiculously outside of our price range. We're like, no, we're not going to do that. Here's the deal. This is what's great. So this car was meant to be one of the loaners that the dealership would have on hand. If somebody brought in a car to be worked on, this would be the loaner they would drive around.
Okay.
It just never happened that they needed it. They had too many loaners, and this one just sat there with its initial 14 miles on it, and that's it. Like literally 14 total miles on it.
Wow.
And so they said, well, it's your lucky day because if you do this and this and this, we'll cut you a deal. Well, then we're like, well, we'll look around or whatever. Anyway, we finally worked these guys down to the point that we in effect saved 10 grand on this car because of its weird status as a loaner, because of another rebate thing they were doing, and because they're trying to push out 2018s and keep, you know, make room for 2020s. So they don't want 3 years of a car on the lot. They were kind of not desperate, but they were ready to let that thing move. So after it's all said and done, if you include Nick's payments to us, the money we got for the car we sold to the other kids, it's like this, we're getting a car for 10K less than it was. So instead of 30 grand, we got it for 20, and we're virtually not really even paying for it because all the payments we get every month, plus the other cash we got and the down payment, basically make it so we just have another car.
Yeah,
we're breaking
even. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so hats off to Kim. I don't even. No kidding. I still don't even know how it totally worked out, but that thing is a smooth, sweet ride. It's the color she loves. It's like all the stuff she loves. It was the only one they had, and they were like, "Oh, please, let's make a deal. Okay, we'll cut that out. All right, how about another $2,000 off the sticker if we do this?" And like it was just this like chink, 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 chink.
Why aren't we having her kind of help do the negotiations down in Vegas for?
I know.
We'd have everything would be nailed down by now, and we'd actually have a sign in the marquee coming up.
I should have put her in charge of all that. But it is also my first experience outside of that rabbit that guy stole. Mm-hmm. I've told the story years ago on the show, but it's an old like 1980s era rabbit that I had. Other than that, I never had a Volkswagen. I know you had a Beetle for a while.
I had a Beetle. Loved my Beetle.
Beetle was cool. And I forgot how much I like European sensibility about interiors. Mm-hmm. So what I'm used to is Japanese and Korean cars and American cars where you sit in them and they're just overly... It's not an efficacious use of the internal space in most cars. For whatever deal is, I don't know what's going on with those Germans, but the Germans, they're like, "We like to have as much room as possible for the feet and the legs." And they're like, they don't go nuts with like curvy inside. It's like very efficient and like, this goes here. It is perfectly balanced over here.
Right.
And I feel like I have so much room in this freaking car. And it takes up less space in the garage than the Honda did.
So basically what we're saying is the Germans have a similar weird body shape as Scott Johnson.
Maybe. Tall, white, pasty white men, I guess. But it used to be
anything about the color of your skin, Scott, but okay.
I made it racist. But in all of the cars that we owned previously that we've had recently, I fit like a sardine in there. It's awful. Like I just don't fit in them, especially in the back seat. Even Kim's Accord is just a little tight for me back there. Carter hates it because she's also a tall person and gets all jammed up in there. There's so much room for me to like back my driver's seat way up and put it back. And someone can still sit behind me with big legs. It's crazy. Yeah. The Germans, man.
They've got to figure it out.
Well done.
Yeah.
Brian, tell me about the listeners that you interacted
with. Yeah. Well, so today I met up with a couple listeners who are visiting family from who live here in Denver. They were visiting from Iowa, came out here to Iowa, and decided to have some fun with a surprise. So Chris, the husband, says, "Hey, it's my wife's birthday. She doesn't know that I'm, you know, setting up this little meetup with you." And he asked earlier in the week, said, "Hey, I'm going to be out there. Any chance we could do a meetup? Maybe grab a cup of coffee or something?" Like, yeah, sure, why not? Decided to do it right after the Weight Watchers weigh in. And so I said, "Hey, I have an idea. Don't tell her why you're out here, and I'll just walk into the coffee shop, I'll order my coffee, I'll grab it, and then I'll just randomly sit down at your table and start talking to you like like nothing."
Yeah.
And so we're like, "Oh yeah, cool so that's exactly what I did. Although when I walked in, she says, "Oh wow, that guy kind of looks a little bit like Brian." And he says, he looked over and he says, "Nah, I don't see it."
Nice.
So I had a lovely time hanging out with them and talking and getting to know them. Chris and Amber, I don't know if they're listening now because they're running around doing stuff with their family, but when they get a chance to finally listen to this, it was awesome meeting you guys. You guys are super cool, and I hope you have a great birthday weekend out here.
Yeah.
Prior to that, I decided to stop by Home Depot and pick up. So I had some time, so I decided to pick up some. I need some spray adhesive. I'm going to put up a couple more of these sound absorbing screens here in the studio room.
Right. Are they foam? Is that they are?
Yeah. Yeah, these right here.
Let me see them.
These little squishy guys
right here. Oh, yeah. Sure. Yep. Yeah. Those are good to have around.
Classics, you know.
Yeah. Classic, absolutely.
And anyway, so I want to put them on the wall with spray adhesive. I don't want to put, obviously, I'm not going to thumbtack them into the wall, but I also don't like using the blue tack with these because it doesn't stick to the foam as well.
Mm.
So I'm like, oh, yeah, a little spray adhesive, and then we're good to go.
Well, those work with the 3M pull things. What are those called?
Yeah, but those are such big, those, I know what you're talking about. The,
they're supposed to leave, because they leave no holes, they leave no marks, whatever.
They leave none of that. But there's command hooks or command adhesive.
Command strips.
But those things, it's such, command strips. They're such a pain in the butt. I mean, they're not, let me rephrase that. I don't want to waste a whole bunch of command strips on these. Because it's like, you know, spray adhesive, that's all they need. They're not, it's not a lot of weight. I save those 3M command strips for like important pictures, things that are heavier. Well, things that are heavier that, yeah. that you know.
I do the same thing. You know what? This is embarrassing. But when I get command strips and I'm like, yeah. all right, well, I'm going to hang up
kinda
small
hoard
prints.
Them, right?
I hoard them, yeah. but then when I do use them, I cut them up into little sub pieces. So I figure I, from one strip that's normally just supposed to be one corner, I can get like four prints up. Pretty lame.
So that's kind of what I did. Yeah. The lights that I have behind me, I cheated. And so the command strips are actually where every two triangles meet. Instead of me using one on every corner, like three on every triangle, I have them. Basically, I have three for every pair of triangles because it's splitting and doing double duty.
It's because they're expensive and you don't want to waste them. I totally get this.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm wandering around the Home Depot, and if you've been to Home Depot, you know exactly the situation. It's like, well, where would they have this? It's not, if I want a hammer, that's easy to find. It's in the section marked hammers. If I want an air conditioning unit, oh yeah, right over there is your swamp coolers. But spray adhesive, I'm thinking, well, is it going to be by the fasteners? Is it going to be by the tape? Is it going to be by the spray paint? Mm-hmm. The glue, whatever. And so I'm wandering around. Finally, I get over to the paint section, and there's a guy working there, and there's a woman standing a few feet behind him. And I go up, and the guy comes over and says, "Hi, what can I do for you?" I'm saying, "I'm looking for spray adhesive." He's like, "Oh, yeah, okay. Aisle 43, about 3/4 of the way down on the left side."
6 miles that way, yeah.
Right, exactly. No, it's actually right by. I was fortunate.
Oh, good.
It was like right where it is. And I said those six words, and then I probably followed up with, "Oh, cool, thanks." Okay. That's all I said.
Okay.
Those six words plus okay, thanks, 8 words total.
Okay.
I go around the corner. I see the spray adhesive. It's right where he said it was. I look. There's like the different numbers talking about the different strength values of them. I'm like, 45. I don't need a 75. I don't need an 85. I need a 45. Yeah. So I grab that, and I continue walking around towards the register. And as I'm walking, rounding a corner, I hear, sir, like, oh no, what'd I do? And I'm thinking, I can't tell if she's talking to me or who she's talking to. And I finally stop and I'm saying, yeah. And she comes around the corner and says, "Do you do a podcast?"
This happened today?
Like, this happened today. This happened right before I went to go meet Chris and Amber at Starbucks.
That's hilarious. Said,
yes, I do. And she goes, "Oh my God, my husband and I are such big fans. I just recognized you from your voice." And I'm thinking, man, I said 8 words. Is my voice that dumb that, like, I don't,
Did you do it like Ken Kratz? You did it like,
"Hi, Brian Ibbett here. I'd like to know where the spray adhesive is."
So wait, but she worked there, or was just a lady there?
She works there. Okay. It was the lady that works there. It was the lady at the counter that I thought was helping somebody else. So I was really surprised that, that she even heard me. And so is Tamara. Big shout out to Tamara and her husband Rex, who live here in Arvada, and we've never bumped into each other or anything until now. And she took a selfie with me to send to her husband, and he's in the chat room right now. It's Third Illusion. So hey, Third Illusion.
What?
Lovely. It was awesome. It was lovely meeting Tamara, and you know, you guys hit me up if you guys want to join me for trivia or something sometime, or doing something.
Yeah, they do. Oh, they do Denver meetups, Matt, and stuff and all that.
So did you ever go by Rex in the chat room, Matt? Because he's saying it's Matt. I don't know why she said Rex.
Oh, like, maybe that's her sexy name.
I thought she said his chat room name is Rex.
Oh.
Do you go by Rex somewhere else? Because you go by Third Illusion here. I've seen you a million times.
Yeah, the Third Illusion. You know you're local? Oh, Gamertag.
Gamertag.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a sexy name. That's what she calls it. Hey, Rex, come on home.
Hey, Rex. Hey. Rex unbuttons the top 2 buttons on his shirt. That's what Rex does.
But, wow, that's awesome.
No, it's awesome.
I love that kind of random stuff.
Yeah, especially the just based on voice was crazy. You guys, Third Illusion, you guys have to know I'm a big round bald guy, right? I mean, you know, it's not, you're in the chat room, you've seen pictures. She's certainly seen pictures. It wasn't totally on voice, was it?
It had to have been a little bit of the visual, right?
Had to be.
I think that sounds right. The only time this sort of thing's happened to me, it's almost always been voice, but that was, you know, it would be like at a restaurant, and a server would be like, "Your voice is familiar." Like, "Oh, really? Do you do a pot?" And then it starts to go from there. But I think you're the most recognizable visually of the two of us.
Well, I don't know about most, but I mean,
I'd pick you out of a
crowd.
I
always look the same. your visage has changed. Your visage has changed over the years, but but I've kind of always looked like this. So, and I'll just say this. I look a little bit smaller today,
yeah,
and that's because I'm down 1.8. No Justine today. Justine Bateman, not there for the last two times. And this new lady just really doesn't get me, right? Okay, so there's the lady that has been there kind of the whole time, mm-hmm. and I should know her name. And then there was Justine. Justine's been gone for the last couple of weeks, and there's this new lady, and she's like, oh, hi, good morning. We have a deal going on with our snacks. If you buy one from this shelf and one from this shelf, you get a free journal, and you can use that journal during the meetings. And I'm like, oh yeah, you don't know me, do you? Yeah. you don't know my game plan here. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Okay, well, make sure you get those. I'm like, well, I was gonna buy snacks anyway. I was gonna get something, so I might as well just get some. She's like, okay, here's your free journal. Make sure you use it during the meeting today.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to show you all.
Let's see your journal. I've never seen a Weight Watchers journal before. Is there a big WW on it?
There is not a big one. This is my journal, and you know how you can tell is because of the big in red letters at the front of it, my journal.
Yeah, I was going to say, how were you sure that was your journal? But I think I see now my journal.
There's the WW logo.
Oh, there it is.
Right down there.
Okay, yep. Is that their new logo?
And you'll notice, still wrapped in plastic. Still sealed. Monday's prize, as far as Babel Royale, will include. Brian's journal.
Oh, that's I love that. What a gosh. That's the best thing we've ever given away. Are you kidding me?
It kind of is, right?
Yeah. Also, their logo looks like a 1970s like TV station logo. What do you think?
Well, you know what? It looks like the, speaking of Volkswagen, it looks like somebody was trying to do the Volkswagen logo and just decided not to try super hard.
Yeah. They're like, well, let's not overlap them completely. Let's just have those W's floating above each other.
Franklin Gothic. Exactly. Why go with something?
By the way, I found a clip of Brian Ibbett and this was recorded at the Home Depot. I don't know if you knew this was being recorded when you saw Rex's wife, Third Illusion's wife. Here's the sound that was recorded.
Take a selfie.
So you took a selfie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
thought about that one when I said those words.
Well, well done on the pound and whatever, pound and some change. That's awesome. Very well done. You're continuing to make us all look bad. It's fantastic.
I'm lowest I've ever been, or lowest I've been in several years. Like this, I had the needle go up a couple times this last week and now, or last couple weeks, and now it's back on the down more than the ups.
Nice.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what Brian's saying is he gets it up more than he gets it. It's going down more than he's getting it up is what he's saying at this stage.
It's exactly. I go down. No, wait.
Neither of these sound very good.
None of it's good.
All right. Before we call. Yes.
Check this out.
Yes.
This arrived.
What's that?
These are my AirPods.
Yeah.
And this is the case that is a fidget
spinner. Oh, that is so stupid.
So dumb.
I want one. Did you see?
You know, kinda,
are you going to be annoyed now, though? Because Apple just announced a new case for those things that does the Wi-Fi charging.
I don't care about the wireless charging.
Oh, really? Because I kind of do.
Do you? I don't wireless charge any of my stuff. Maybe that'll change when I get a 10R, but my 8 Plus does wireless charging.
With it? Oh, my gosh. It's
I don't
so
do
great.
That. Look at this right here. I'll show you. Hold on. No, but can I tell you what makes this so cool? And it's not the fidget spinner aspect of it.
Mm. What is it?
It's the fact that this is like a textured case. And my only problem with the AirPods is that the case is so slippery that I drop it all the time.
Yeah, I
and
like
this
a
is
good
a nice.
I like
and
a
it's
matte
not a,
finish. It's good.
It's not a big case. I mean, it's not a it does not add a lot of weight or size to this thing.
Sure.
And even little buttons are just like an eighth or a 16th of an inch the case. So.
Nice. Well, I'll tell you what, you come home at the end of the day, though, with your phone. Well, I guess I'm already here, but you flop into there, time for bed. There's nothing like just taking your phone and putting it on that little disc on my desk and having to go burp and start charging. It's great.
Sure.
In fact, I'm worried there's going to be dirt and crap in my little charge hole because I never use it.
Well, but if you don't use it, then why do you care if there's dirt and crap in your charge hole?
That's a good point. Only
There's always dirt and crap in my charge hole, and I just use an X-Acto knife or the end of a paperclip and go bling.
But what if it starts to creep up inside so that the charge hole leads to the other holes, and now you got a phone full of
shit?
It's not.
I don't think it works like that, Scott. I don't think it's like a.
It's not a spreading disease. You're saying?
Yeah, it's not a. It's the that that's a that's a that's a cul-de-sac. You're nothing goes beyond the charge hole.
Yeah, I think you're right because it's actually a water. These are waterproof or water resistant now, It's not like there's a. That's not the gateway drug to the rest of the phone. I don't think.
Yeah. By the way, I think 8 people came up with different variations of dirt in my charge hole.
Yeah, I feel like the
for a show title.
We have flooded the titles today with dirt in my charge hole variations. Nice job, everybody. Quick phone call, not phone call, email from Jim from Long Island. I thought this was important to get out since we're talking about phones. He says he has a cure for robocalls. Says they seem to like to call me on my day off at 7 in the morning. So when I answer it, I will screw with them until they start asking for social security numbers or bank info. What I do is act like I'm old and keep them busy while I'm trying to remember my number that I've screwed up 4 times or a few times. And then they, when they ask me one more time, I grab this obnoxiously loud squeaky toy that my dog has and I spam it on the phone. When I do that, it's very loud and you can hear them scramble to get the headset off their head as if it was an air horn. And then he does an air horn. If they still don't react, he gets an air horn out.
Nice.
So I just wanted to share this. And you know what? This is actually a decent idea. If you want to have some fun with these guys and also probably make it so they don't call you back, maybe just waste their time. Colossally waste their time and then piss them off and then blow their ears out. Like, that sounds like fun.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. Could you read that first part of the script again, please?
Yeah. I'm doing this. I've decided that he's right. Anyway, thanks, Jim G. from Long Island. I appreciate it.
You get quieter and quieter with the Ken.
Yeah.
Until they're turning up the volume on their headset.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Could you say that again?
What is that like? It reminds me of something. Why is that? Oh, I know. It's familiar. We did it to my science teacher in high school just to torture him. And then and then it's also in an episode of Fawlty Towers where he does that to a lady who has a hearing aid.
Yes. Right. Whispers until she finally turns it up. The horrible lady that.
She's horrible and she won't turn it up because
my hearing aid.
It wastes batteries. Yeah, exactly. Hey, just making me want to watch that show now. That's what you've done. Well done.
Great show.
That's the best show. It's my favorite comedy of all time, I think. All right, I'm going to call Dan.
Call Dan.
I think it'll work. Here we go. He does this. He does Skype. Boop, boop. Oh, hey, Wayne, it worked. Hey, Dan.
What's up?
What's going on, brother?
How you guys doing, man?
Doing
all right. You have to introduce me in that German voice, man.
Oh, yeah. It's Dan. He is calling from the back of the pharmacy. He has put 2 Oxycontin in his anus. Hey,
if I put them in my charge hole.
Hey, is it true that if you put drugs in your bum or alcohol, it's faster, it does the job quicker?
It depends on the drug, because actually that's a pretty good way to get it in there. So when there are actually drugs like diazepam, which is Valium for everybody else, but they have diazepam that's available in a rectal gel for people that are having seizures and stuff like that. So when people are NPO, if somebody can't get things in orally, there is, I think it's a 60 to 80% absorption rate in the rectum.
Wow. That's crazy.
On. Yeah, it is pretty cool.
So wait a minute.
Because all those kids were like,
but not everything can be absorbed by your rectum. Let me correct that.
So hold on. If I'm just trying to imagine this. Let's imagine I'm an older person at a restaurant. I have a bad case of epilepsy.
Right.
My doctor's recommended gel form diazepam that I am to squirt into my hand and put in my anus.
So you would probably already have this. So it's called Diastat, and it's a rectal diazepam gel, and it comes in these. It looks like actually looks like a rocket, and they're pretty funky because the doses are dialable. So before we even dispense it, we have to dial up the dose and click it in there. And you would carry these things around. And if you started having a seizure, it's gonna have to get up there and shove that thing right up your bum hole.
That's what I mean. It'd be like, oh, I'm starting to seize. Hold on a second. Like jam a thing up your hooter. That seems terrible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those are generally for people that have a lot more status epilepticus and a lot more, you know, uncontrollable seizures a lot. We have some patients that'll get as many of 15 boxes of these things a month, which is that's 30 doses. Now, I don't know if they're actually using the whole thing, but they're prescribed and they just keep getting them. But that's a lot of freaking rectal gel.
That's a lot of benzo in your system, too.
Yeah.
Because that stuff will, you can get hooked on that and have.
Yeah. And you're really talking about people that are quadriplegics or similar, or just, I mean, for lack of a better term, sometimes vegetables already. You know, they're just, you know, they're just comatose a lot of times. And it's a shame. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are usually you'll see it in children that have, that'll have seizure disorders and they've got to carry them around, or they'll keep one at school and stuff like that.
Well, what you've described is a very serious condition, and I should stop talking light of it about putting a thing up your butt. I'm going to stop doing that because those seem like very nice people who just need a little cream on their anus.
Yeah. But there are people though. It is, you know, when you talk about, let's get into the druggy aspect, because that's where, you know, more fun that way. There are people that, you know, kind of like when they talk about like track marks and stuff like that, and then they'll start using it between their toes and crap like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is absorption, you know, you've got, you know, there are receptors in your ass.
Brian, you've been to some parties. You ever seen anybody put some beer in their anus?
Just like a Saturday night at its house. No, but I mean, we heard about those kids who were doing the soaking tampons in vodka and then shoving them up their rectums to get a quicker drink.
Wow, I'm going to the wrong parties.
Yeah, no kidding.
Apparently.
My parties are boring.
Maybe we're going to the right parties. Yeah. That's the way I'd like to think of this.
Exactly.
You know
what?
Hey,
dude, I got to thank you, by the way.
Ooh.
Dan, because Gan's shown Clever. It's like one of my new favorite things on my iPad.
It's great, isn't it?
Oh man, it's so fun. It was my recommendation last week, and I just wanted to thank you since you weren't on last week. I could thank you this week.
Well, I appreciate it. I wanted to tell you, and I'm going to use a little vernacular from my Southern wife. When I listened to the last week's show, it warmed my heart to hear you explain Gone Shun Clever to Scott. Mm. It was like the birthing of a game teacher. It was amazing.
That's good. Okay.
And I was actually gonna nab that after his recommendation again, and I still didn't do it. I mean, it is very intimidating. I see these screenshots, and I just go,
"Oh, oh yeah, don't." You'll play it twice, and it'll be like, "Oh, I totally get this now." I mean, it helps that the app highlights the places. You know, it'd be like if you had a Yahtzee, and when you rolled five dice, all of a sudden different spots on the board highlighted, saying, "Well, if you kept these, then you could go for twos, or if you kept these, then you could go for a small straight or whatever."
Right.
So it does help that this game kind of gives you hints at that, and plus also, you know, tells you the order in which to do things. But still, download the game, just do all we're talking here, and then go to YouTube and watch that guy from Board Game Geek explain how to play it, because he uses the actual dice to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I learned it. If you try and learn it from the text in the app, you'll be like, I don't freaking understand what I just
read. It is a lot. It's like going through a huge rule book, even though the rule book itself is only like two pages, but it's a little confusing in the app. But the only thing that'll be a little hard is just getting used to what the scoring actually is, because you'll all of a sudden a number will come up. You'll be like, well, how the hell did that happen? And it'll show the numbers and stuff. But after you do that, that takes a little longer to get where those numbers come from. But if it's right, two games of that, and you'll be sitting on a toilet for hours. Exactly. You won't want to get up. It's like, one more game.
No suppository necessary. I do, you know, that actually brings up a good question. As someone who plays a lot of board games, do you, as a rule now, do you just go to YouTube and watch the video to get the explanation of how to play them? I know a lot of games now come with a tiny URL that says,
right,
want to learn how to play the game quickly? Just go to this URL and watch our video, as opposed to reading the book.
So there's a couple of different types of players, and then there's a couple of different types of videos. So there's a few types of players. There's people that just show up and always get taught the rules, and then there's always that guy. And I tend to be that guy where I have to teach my gaming group the rules all the time. So it makes it a little harder, because it's stressful too, because you don't want to screw up. And no matter what, you always mess up one rule or two when you first learn a game. But I'll usually read the rules, and then I'll go to, there's two guys that do it. So Rodney Smith is Watch It Played. You'll see a lot of his videos. He actually kind of also works for Board Game Geek. Rodney Smith, he's Canadian. He's on Board Game Geek. There's also a Brit, not a Brit. He's a Euro. I just don't think he's a Brit. Anyway, Gaming Rules Vids. gaming rules videos you'll see online as well. He also does, that's Paul Grogan. He does a really good job of how to play videos. They both have their own style, but they're both very good teachers. And usually one or the other will have some good videos on how to play, especially when you have the more in-depth games, those kind of heavy Euros. You want to kind of either watch it first, then read the rules, and then watch it again. And it'll really help to figure out, because sometimes some people, and this is not me, some people will just set up the game and they'll play it two-fisted. Man, I can't just play a game by myself to try and learn the rules. I've got to see a video really? And then okay. just play it with my friends. But yeah, there's a lot of good ways.
Didn't know what you meant by two-fisted.
So you have the two players set up and you play them both and make sure you have one beer for each player while you're doing it.
Mm. So, yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
Double-fisted. Yeah, let that sink in.
So
go ahead, Dan.
Scott, you always ask medical questions, and I had a question for you.
Go.
So a bunch of people came back from SaltCon, which was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's held here in Salt Lake City.
The Salt Lake City guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So what the hell is up with the crosswalk flags?
Oh, yeah, this is easy. This comes up a lot, though. So they have an ordinance in Salt Lake County specifically, especially in particular, it's for downtown. There are some crosswalks where they're four-way stops without lights. And so the idea is that they needed another way to sort of beef up safety there without going nuts and putting lights on every single possible place. So the places that were just a little fishy, like, well, traffic's increased in this area, so we need to up the safety of these particular crosswalks. It's either that or we go full, timed cross lights, and that's possible too. But, you know, there's like this little interim choice. And the choice is they put a basket on both sides of the cross, whichever direction you're going, and in that basket are a bunch of wooden dowels with orange flags attached to the, so they're basically flags, little flags, and you're supposed to grab one of those when you're walking across the street, and you hold one of that, and when you get to the other side, you dump it in the other basket. The idea is that you are more visible because you're holding this bright hunter orange flag. And why people are always blown away by it is this wouldn't work in most cities. For some reason, nobody steals these here. Like, I've heard people say, dude, if this was San Francisco, all of those flags would be part of a rad new tent that a homeless guy built later that night. Like, they wouldn't stay around. But for some reason, right, nobody steals them here. They just use them, walk across, stick in the thing, and keep going. So that's what it is. It's not every intersection. It's only places where, like, there are a couple intersections where the mass transit track system goes. It's like the train that we have.
Right.
And there's some intersections where those are not light directed. So they have them there as well to kind of give, you know, people walking across there, gives the train dude a chance to see a little extra orange in case he's coming real fast. And these are better at night. They're also a semi-reflective flag. They're not just cloth. They're made out of some kind of, I don't know, you angle it and the light just right and it kind of gets brighter, almost like a reflector. So it's that kind of thing. So you use them at night. So they're basically like you have for kids, like cross, what do you call that?
Crossing guards?
Crossing guards. It's the same idea, except this is just, hey, you're an adult, grab a flag, walk across, put it back. So it's a weird locally thing. I haven't heard about it in too many other places, but everyone asks about it when they come here.
So is it like one of these things where there'll be a meeting and be like, yep, Bo got hit on Fifth Street. Better get a damn basket of flags over there.
I don't know. I don't know how they make that decision. And then they're not, like I say, out where I am, there's none. They don't exist out here. But and I probably never saw one until I saw one downtown. So I think downtown's pretty much the only place you're going to get it. And it's just like this, it's almost like the honor system that actually, for some reason, we found a little piece of an honor system that works. And I'm sure some flags go missing, but it's never a problem, and nobody paints on them, so you're not walking across with somebody's freaking Nazi
thing
or whatever.
Just pick up
you have a hard time not crossing the street and be like, I'm crossing the street!
Yeah, the street I'm going across! But like somebody in the Hobbs Dog says, yeah, Frog Pants, downtown and schools and libraries, I guess some of those would have, there's probably some schools that have just the flags and not a crosswalk guy. I don't know. But it seems to work. And there's some people who just walk and don't care. Like, you shouldn't, it's not like people walk up and go,
This is like Logan's Run. I must take my flag and walk very carefully across the thing. All hail the final moment, whatever the hell they do in that movie.
Is that how I get admission to the nudie room with the flag?
Yeah, that's
with
the flag. One. Yes. Uh-huh.
If you have the flag, you're in the nudie room every time. It is an odd little thing, though. But I remember once Adam Carolla on his show said it was his favorite thing about Salt Lake City because he says it proved, because he used to go to Wise Guys downtown. It's a comedy club down there. And he said it was proof that it was actually a nice city to be in because nobody was stealing these flags. Like in his mind, if nobody takes the flags, that must be a sign that you have a decent society around those flags. I don't know if that's true or not, or if that's just him goofing around, but it made me have a little pride for a hot minute there. Ah, Adam Carolla from The Man Show likes us. Woo!
Right. Well, you even think like Raleigh is like a really nice city and everything, but a few years ago, you know, somebody stole a bunch of those orange barrels, and they made like Barrel Guy, like on as a art thing. Just stole a bunch and made this big. You could probably find it online. It was really pretty cool.
That's
cool. They did a few of them.
Barrel Guy.
Was he like super huge, like a super huge dude made of orange barrels?
Yeah, it was like just a big stick figure, and it was like pointing somewhere.
I'm looking this up. Barrel Guy, North Carolina. I bet I find something.
Mm-hmm. You hope?
Oh my gosh, dude! It is. You know
what? It's just cool, isn't it?
It's really cool. And there's a couple other examples on here that are like someone made a dinosaur out of a bunch of them. But this, I assume this top one is it. There's this guy made out of like safety barrels.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that rad?
I wish I could show the guy with the cane. Oh, no, it's the one with the sharp teeth, right?
Yeah, that's the one. Looks like he's like going, don't come this way or whatever. That's awesome. Well,
that
anyway, yeah, so that's our hippy dippy little orange flag story. I'm glad you asked.
Yeah, it is. I'm pretty sure it's the one with the teeth. Yeah.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Anyway.
So I got some, let me give you a couple of things in news real quick.
Oh, great.
Board gaming news. And these are both kind of movie related. So we'll go a little bit off track. We don't have a game today. We'll talk about two games that are coming out later. It's more news. A company, USAopoly, they got started, I think, doing a lot of the old Opolys, but they've got a lot of good games that have come out. I think the Harry Potter game was theirs, which was really good. They announced. What's that?
I said, yippee-ki-yay. I know what you're going to be talking about.
Yeah, you do know what I'm going to talk about. Right. So Die Hard on the Tabletop. It's a good, Die Hard Nakatomi heist board game. Did you guys already cover this this week?
No, I've never even heard of it. No. Brian clearly has, but I've never heard of it.
Yes, I'm so excited about this.
It looks really cool. It's 2 to 4 players. What's really kind of weird is it's a one versus many game. And normally one versus many kind of have like the one is kind of the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And all the many is usually the good guys, like Dracula. There's usually everybody else trying to get Dracula or, you know, Betrayal at House on the Hill and stuff like that. It's one versus many. This is going to be one versus many. But the one is going to be John McClane, and everybody else is going to be the thieves trying to thwart him from, well, they're trying to steal everything, and he's going to try to go around, you know, not, you know, capturing them.
Like you do.
The reverse of the one versus many.
Sure. Exactly.
Is it surprising that this is not a dice game, seeing as it's called Die Hard? Like, wouldn't it be great if it was like a...
you know, I wouldn't put it past them. That actually is a great idea.
I don't think that's not only a great idea, that's a glaring omission, that there's no dice involved in this game. Because seriously,
you know,
Die Hard, come
that
on.
Down. We may have to start coming up with something for Die Hard.
Come up with our own Die Hard game, yeah.
Yeah, that's ridiculous that it's not in there, but I guess we'll take it for
what
we get.
Do you know what the other one is I'm going to mention?
I don't, because this is the only one I heard about, and as soon as I heard about it, I'm like, oh, I'm pre-ordering this as soon as I can pre-order this.
So
what's the other one?
The other one is it's a very hard license to come by, and they just announced kind of the remake of the movie. I think you guys have talked about this fairly recently on FilmSack as well, but they're going to be reprinting. So now let me give you a hint here. We're talking about intrigue, backstabbing, and sandworms.
Okay. I'm in.
Okay.
Dune.
Dune. The license to Dune, they finally figured out. Somebody tracked down and managed to wrangle the license to Dune. The good news is that it's by Gale Force 9. Now, Gale Force 9 is one of the best IP game publishers. Usually IP games suck, but this is one of the few publishers that I trust with an IP like no other. They did a real good job with Star Trek. They've got a good job with Doctor
Firefly.
Who. They're really good at that. So they're coming out. Now, there's not a whole lot of information.
You guys have a Homeland the game.
Homeland the game? Like Homeland Security the game?
Homeland the TV show with Claire Danes.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't heard much about that one and the oh, what was the FX show with about the motorcycle gang?
Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, they have one of those that's supposedly decent, but I haven't played that one yet either.
Was that AMC or was that?
It was AMC.
I thought that was FX. Was it AMC? I thought it was FX. Are you sure?
Oh, was it FX? Okay, I thought it was AMC. I thought
they're all kind of the same.
You know what? Though. You know what? You're absolutely right. It is FX.
Yeah, they had a lot of swears and a couple of nudies in there. Not that AMC couldn't do that, but FX.
You know, it was right around the time I was watching Preacher, and we were like, "Oh, we got to keep." You know, the Walking Dead was off, but I was like, "No, we got to keep FX because we're watching this." And same with
is Preacher still AMC. On? Is that a thing? Can I go?
It is.
It is. All right. I'm gonna need to catch up on that.
You managed to find the worst freeze frames of me. I gotta get my internet checked.
Dude,
the
hot.
Worst pictures it just freezes on ugly face.
It's good. I like it. I think it's a good look for you, and we're keeping it forever. So all right. I you know, this whole IP games usually suck thing is also true of video games. That's been a problem for a really long time, and hardly anyone ever does a good job. However, when you tell me that a board game gets it right, that makes me interested. Also, there's a bunch of Dune licensing going around for actual video games happening in light of that movie being made. So there's a lot of rumbling in general about all this Dune business. Do you have any specific hopes for that thing? Like any kind of, I don't know, idea what you think it might be or how it'll play or any of that?
Well, I think it's, so they kind of remade the game, Fantasy Flight remade it into, it was in the Twilight Imperium universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Imperium Rex or something like that came out a few years ago. It was kind of like a remake of it, and it's a decent game. There's a lot of really cool way that the factions play, that I think will be really good. And I think if they can reimplement that a little bit, I'd like to see them change it a little, because to be honest, as fun as those things are, I don't like getting backstabbed every 2 seconds. Like some people really dig that sort of thing, but if I'm playing a game, I want to be able to kind of trust deals and stuff. Like there are some games that you know it's coming, so it's not that big of a deal. But a game like this is all about political intrigue, and you know, I'm making a deal with Ibbot for to go against Scott, and then meanwhile Scott attacks me, and then Ibbot just backstabs me like the next round. It's kind of like scares the you know, that sort of thing gives you a little bit of agita when you're playing, and that's not a great feeling, but I'm sure it'll be a pretty good game.
Yeah, I couldn't be more excited about all things Dune right now. I can't wait for that movie. I can't wait for everything surrounding that movie. Like, this is going to be, I'm as excited about this as I was about Blade Runner or Mad Max for that matter. Like, these are all my genre picks that I want to see get made now. And man, so excited. So hopefully the board game and related content are also good.
Sure. Once it comes out and I get to play it, I'll be sure to bring it back as well.
Yeah. So tell me about, what we should be playing this weekend. Is there any particular game we should be picking up and going?
Well, I do have a good game. I don't know. Actually, this might be a pretty good one for both of you guys, because it's a great two-player game. And it's based off of a game that it's called Nirishima Hex, which is a two-player game, two-player kind of grid game. But this is the fantasy version. It's called Monolith Arena. I feel like Tom Merritt. I've got it right here.
Nirishima Rex on the iPad. I love that game.
It's really good, and it's perfect for iPads. And this is basically the fantasy version. It's got four different armies on it. But what's really cool about this is it's not just kind of throw things out there and just fight. You're kind of using strategy, and when you're picking out your three tiles and putting them out there, you're not always fighting every round. So it's a lot of strategy built up, and then you may not want to fight. You may kind of throw that tile away because you're just not ready yet to fight in it. But what's great about Monolith Arena is it really has that fantasy feel, because you know the thing about some people don't really like the queen. No, some people don't like the post-apocalyptic genre. But you know, they're both pretty cool, and there's a lot of there are a couple new armies that have come out from Monolith Arena. This is by Portal Cup Publishing. They just had a 20th anniversary of putting out games. But so this is a real solid one. It's a great two-player game. Great for spouses, significant others, or playing with your kids. It's a ton of fun, and I highly recommend that one.
I want to play everything you just talked about, because people who don't like post-apocalyptic things can all bite me and go away. Dan, you should have you played or have you watched any of that stuff on that Netflix show that Love, Death and Robots at all?
You know, I watched three of them last night.
Yeah.
And my wife was sleeping, and I got to one of the ones that did you say it's in random order? Because I watched three of them.
There are four different order possibilities. And my order went the two kaiju type fighters in the pit with the people who mind controlled them. Mm-hmm. Second one was the three robots going through the wasted city, and then the fourth or third one was crap.
Like the time travel kind of thing with the loop.
No, the third one was the loop. Well, sort of the loop. The witness.
Lady witness thing. It sounds like all three of us got the same order, but everyone gets a different order.
Sitting there with my wife's sleeping next to me, and she's snoring.
Yeah.
And so the third one is on. She gets into that club, and it's just boobies and moaning. And I'm like,
oh yeah.
And then she kind of rolls over. I'm like, please don't look at the TV.
And full frontal, yeah. Right.
Please don't look at the TV, honey. Right. Let's go back to sleep. Yeah, it's a little rough in those areas. A little hypersexual, a little hyperviolent, but it's there's some meat in there, man.
Man, they're so good.
Yeah. There's some really good stuff.
The Three Robots one had me laughing from the first second to the last.
It was great. And I've already saw somebody made like a really great Lego version of all three of those robots, and they're all just awesome.
I love the triangle Siri robot too. Is my favorite one.
She was pretty great. Constantly taking selfies of everything.
I hope you can tell me that the rest of them are just as good.
I loved all of it. There's nothing in, there's none of them that I would go, oh, that was dumb. Like there's some that I think are so good they could be their own series. There are some where I don't think they could be, but I like the little bit I got. Like none of them I walked away from going, well, that was dumb. Like at least they're creative and interesting. And there are a lot of sort of what if kind of things being thrown around in that. Mm-hmm. Even the live action one that's got Mary Elizabeth Winstead and that 70 show kid, whatever his name is. What's his name? Not Ashton Kutcher.
Topher Grace?
Topher Grace is in it. So there's this one that's unlike all the rest of them. It's a live action thing. But they deal with something that's animated. And that one could never be... That is absolutely meant to be a short subject. It should never be anything more than that. But I still loved it. Like there's just a lot of... It's just so much variety. And I found all of it interesting. I think Zima Blue might be my favorite. I can't tell. I just loved all of it so much.
I can't wait to watch the rest of them. I've been savoring them, but
when I ran out, the pain was real.
I totally believe it.
We can't be done. This is it, really?
They binge so fast because they're so short. I know that I'm going to get to the end and I'm going to think the same thing. I'm like, oh, where's season two?
Yeah, they better be making it or I'll be pissed. This thing's been a big hit for them, so I think they probably will. You know, I don't think they need... I'm not a prude about this kind of stuff. Obviously, I've been singing this thing's praises. I don't think they need to be quite so, it's sex in an animated thing! Or that's or is gratuitously violent in a couple of places. Like, I don't know why they feel like they have to do that.
Well, it's fairly natural in the first one.
Yeah.
The first one I watched, I mean, it's fairly natural, and it kind of had that theme. But the third one... I mean, other than the club, I mean, the constant boobs when she's running around probably wasn't needed.
No, you don't need that. Wrap her up. Right. She's just let's be a little nicer to our female protagonists in our shorts. You know what I mean? Like that's all. That was my only complaint, really, and it's not much of a complaint because on the whole, I think there's just like some serious creativity exploding in those things, and I'm blown away by all of it. And if they don't keep making more, I'm going to be severely pissed.
I wonder if they're trying to show, hey, look what I can do with boob physics. That means I'm hireable.
Yeah, boob physics.
Right, exactly. They're going to like slow-mo when they're in some meeting. All right, check this out. Now, notice when she lays back, it kind of flattens out a little bit. Yeah, I did that.
Yeah. And how are... That was very specific, Brian, your example. I liked it.
Well, I was trying to come up with like example that they would use.
This is very, very good.
Watch as she's running through the streets of Tokyo. See how they bounce? I did that.
Yeah, see, there you go. Even better. Anyway, boob physics aside, Dan, it's always good to have you here. I hope I hope people take your recommendations to heart, and it's always fun to have you on. Anywhere people can check you out when you're not here?
Well, I want to recommend if anybody's out in the Maryland area, this weekend is Unpub, which is the Unpublished Game Festival. It's free to the public. You just go in and play unpublished games by a lot of really good designers. It's at the Hunt Valley Inn in Hunt Valley, Maryland. I won't be there, but there's a lot of great game designers and there's a lot of great people up there. It's a lot of fun. And like I said, sit down and play some games that haven't been published yet. And you may see them coming out next year.
Nice.
As for me, I've been doing... some cool stuff with the Major Spoilers Network, Steven Schleicher and gang. I've been doing twice a month, I'll be doing the Munchkin Minute, which will be just board game news. That'll have about a 10-minute show on air. And I've been doing a Top 5 Express Board Game Edition.
Oh, very nice.
Which is a ton of fun. And Ibbet, one thing that I'm going to pick your brain soon, because a contestant on season one and I have been friends for a while. And we might do, you know, the Doc and Doc show.
We may have heard about this a little bit.
I do know about this, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that right?
I know that I know who you're friends with. And it had no idea. So,
He's one of my favorite. I'm not going to say who this person is because there's still episodes to be posted, but he's one of my favorite aspects of the entire competition. So I think if you guys did something cool together, that would be a great catch.
Yeah, and it's good. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've known him for a few years because he's been in the board game community for a while, too. So I've known him for a while. And a real solid family as well.
Yeah, he seems like a cool dude. And I would listen to whatever you guys make. Let's put it that way.
Appreciate it, boys. Hope you have a great weekend.
Dan, have a hell of a weekend. We'll see you later. It's actually got light where you can't see him as well, but he's got light where he lives because it's the because of the daylight savings. You know, usually he's in the dark.
6:30 and on the East Coast for him. So
yeah. So this screen grab. Look at this. I'll put it in our Discord. You can see. Look at that. Okay. It's almost like daytime.
Super bright where he's at. Yeah.
It's pretty good. All right. Well, thank you for that. Gosh, we're about out of time, actually. You know what? I'm saving your ass TMSs for next week, everybody. That's how it's going to be.
Okay. Oh, do one. Just one.
All right, we'll do one. We'll do the number one top one that comes in here.
I'm sure it's Peter Fisher.
Probably is. it almost always is. Here we go.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
Here we go. We got one from, Rishi B.
Oh, speaking of America's Next Top Podcaster.
Yeah. He says, if you woke up tomorrow with powers from the Force, a la Star Wars, for only 24 hours, what would you do with your powers? And he also asked if we want to be a Jedi or a Sith, but we'll answer the first thing. So, what would you do with your Force powers if you had them for 24 hours?
Oh, I'm such a greedy SOB. I would totally go to, up to Black Hawk to where the craps games are, the legal gambling in Colorado is, and I would totally play some craps and make the dice go the way I wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, what other practical thing can you do with Force powers? I think that's the right one.
I mean, you can also do the you don't need to see any identification. You know, they could do something with that. But what do you do? When do you use that?
That's a really good, what's his name?
Sir Alec Guinness.
Alec Guinness, yeah. I mean, you'd have to have a very specific scenario where, that club I can never get into. Now I can talk the bouncer into letting me in.
Yeah,
like big deal.
I would use it for financial gain, and I defy anybody who would do differently.
Yeah, because Force powers aren't that cool. They're all right.
I don't know. I mean, they're cool
in a fight when you're fighting and you do a push and you throw like a radiator off the wall and slam it into your opponent. That's cool, but.
Yeah, but I mean, you're on the couch and you're like, I don't want to get up. I can't reach the remote. Clunk, and the remote's in your hand.
All right.
Well, that's pretty cool.
All right, fair enough. Here's what I would do then.
Yeah.
I would let you go do that. That makes you a Sith, by the way, doing what you're doing.
Sure, that's fine. I'll be the Sith.
So for my righteous move as a Jedi, let's think here. Okay, I know what I'd do.
Remember, you've only got 24 hours. So.
Right. I'd go over to the it's not Cotton anymore. What is it? Fashion Place Mall here in town. I would go right in the center of Fashion Place Mall. They kind of have a big courtyard center space.
Yeah.
And I would I'd wear a robe, you know, brown robe and the leggings and the boots and all that. And I would sit in the middle of that thing, kind of yoga style with my hands out like this. And then I would just levitate myself up 4 or 5 feet and just stay there for like an hour. And anybody who came to try to get me off of there, I would force push them away so they couldn't stop me. And I would just be this thing that no one could ever forget, and they would tell their friends forever, and it would go viral on the internet, and forever I would be known as this guy that hovered there for a while.
Great. That'd Brian cool. goes to play craps. Scott goes to the mall.
Yeah, they would proclaim me as Jesus.
Sum up this podcast arrangement that we have.
You could freak people out and have them go nuts, like hover around town and go, I'm Jesus, I'm back. And then suddenly the whole world... And then it doesn't matter how disproved it is. There'll be conspiracies till the end of time that Jesus was there. That could be fun.
I think that would cause more harm than good, right? You'd want to you'd want to use them to kind of rid the world of that one you know, of as many conceits as possible that divide us and bring and use it to pull us all together.
That's a good point. Instead, I'm just Mall Jesus.
Right, exactly. Right? You say you're going to be you're Mall Penn and Teller, where you're saying, hey, you want to know why Jesus is fake? All right, I'm going to show you. Come on over. Get a little closer. Yeah. All right, my buddy Teller here is going to not talk, and I'm going to show you.
He's going to remain completely silent, not say anything. Yeah.
Darth Maul. How did we?
Darth Maul.
Darth Maul.
Okay, that That's might perfect. Win. That might win.
That might win.
I'm voting for that title. That's amazing. Well done, Tonegrosa. How did no one else think of that?
Oh,
all right.
My God.
Well done. That's it for your questions for this week. We will save all these and get to them next week. We're just a tiny bit long. But huge thanks to everybody who's watched the show today and enjoys this Friday edition. It exists because of you over at patreon.com/TMS. So keep up the support. And if you haven't yet, consider it. Also, last week, I know I screwed up. I didn't put the song on the end of the show on last week's PM.
Last week was a weird week because it was a request that it turned out I didn't actually own a copy of.
Yeah.
It's still available online, so.
And that's how it happened, because I was supposed to go to YouTube and get it, and I just, it was so out of the habit that I thought, I must have done whatever I've done.
Oh, I get that.
And I forgot. So, it won't happen this week, you guys. It's going in.
Yeah.
And everything's good. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. Yes, I'm sure it is. It always is. Yes. That'll do it for us. This weekend, you get a new, what's coming out this weekend? Oh, a new film sack. That's a thing.
New film sack. Dark Crystal. Brian is going to go see Us in about 2 hours, three
Ooh,
hours.
Ooh, I'll get a review on that a little bit tomorrow, maybe.
Get a review.
Doppelganger. Maybe you'll have a dream about your own doppelganger that wants to kill you.
I probably will. Yeah. And it'll be like, hey, you should be afraid. Or whatever it is.
Are you on a podcast? Someone will say behind you. Anyway. And yes, Zoe brings bacon. There will be Dungeons Q&As tomorrow. We finished our first run, and we're going to do a
Q&A. Oh, that's cool.
Yep. Before we start the next
campaign.
So it's
like an AMA kind of thing?
Kinda,
or is it all just D&D questions?
Nope, all AMA. We've had people submitting questions all week on Twitter and on email and everything else. And
awesome.
We should have some fun there before we kick off our next bit. All right, that's going to do it. Brian will now regale us with song. What do you have?
I will indeed. Stuart Cooper wrote in and said, for the third year, I'm taking part in the Walk Off the War Within to raise awareness of PTSD in the military and emergency services. This involves walking 20 kilometers, that's 12.5 miles to you and me, carrying up to 20 kilograms, that's 44 pounds to you and me. This represents the burden of mental illness these people carry. I myself am a volunteer with my local emergency service and the son of a Vietnam veteran, so I fully grasp the burden this represents, and I hope the people in this situation can get the help they need. So he requested something inspirational and or propulsive to help him walk.
Whoa.
Probably going with more, you know what? I'm going with both of them because this is a propulsive inspirational song, originally done by Iggy Pop. This is Lust for Life, probably best known for its use recently in train spotting and I think Carnival Cruise Line commercials.
Wow.
A weird combination of things. The version you're going to hear, though, is a band called The Zimmers. They're an English rock band that was formed in 2007, and they were able to boast that they had the oldest members of any group in the world. Wow. The oldest member at the time in 2007 claimed to have been born in 1906, although some sources were saying that he was born in 1913. But it was still, you know, he's still close to just over 100 years old, or close to 100 years old, depending on which of those numbers you believe. A lot of the members, if you go to their Wikipedia page, a lot of their members are deceased. But when they were together and rocking out, they were having a great time. And this is a band that there was a really cool BBC documentary on, The Zimmers, about this this group of elderly people that were doing rock covers. They also did a great cover of Firestarter by The Prodigy, which is also worth checking out. This is The Zimmers from the album Lust for Life, the song Lust for Life. We'll be right back.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Windiggy.
Windiggy.